Good evening. This is the Labor Exchange. I'm Dennis Kreese, a member of the Boulder Area Labor Council, AFL-CIO. Today is Memorial Day, Monday, May 28th. And so with us, the subject is going to be military veterans as union members and union leaders. And with us is a very special guest to address this subject, Bernard Humbles, President, American Federation of Government Employees, Local Union 2241, and he's also the president of the Veterans Council for the Colorado AFL-CIO. Bernard, thank you for being here at the Labor Exchange at KGNU. Bernard, how long have you been a union member? And for this KGNU listening audience, could you detail the process that led you to your initial employment with the Veterans Administration, Denver, Colorado?
Okay. I've been a union member for over 20 years, and one of the things that brought me, led me actually to becoming a union member was my dad worked in the steel mills of Pittsburgh, and I come from that area, and he was a longtime member of the United States Steelworkers Union. I saw at the medical center and the VA that a union is definitely needed at that facility, and our ability to represent employees and to take care of issues was very much needed. I have been the president of the local for approximately just a little over 12 years, and it has been very interesting. I was a medic in the Army. What brought me to work for the VA was the fact that it appeared as I applied for jobs within the Denver and Colorado Springs metro area in the medical field, it seemed like nobody could articulate my medical experience, my military medical experience, and the VA seemed to do it a lot better than everybody else did. So that's what brought me to the VA.
Okay, Bernard, beyond your work as a government employee at the VA, and you've mentioned you've been a union member for 20 years, and you've mentioned that you've been the president of AFCE 2241 for 12 years. What kind of union leaderships do you have with beyond that here in Denver, Colorado, in the state of Colorado?
I'm also the president of the Colorado AFL-CIO Union Veterans Council. We stood up the council in 2016 at our COPE convention. We prepared a document to bring about the council, and the members of the unions voted for it at our COPE convention. Also, they voted to have me as the interim president of the council. And then last year we voted to have a full-time president, and they voted for me to be that full-time president. And vice president also was voted.
Bernard, let's go back to you got two very important leadership positions, union related, but with the American Federation of Government Employees, Local Union 2241, what are some of your everyday duties and challenges with this leadership position?
We do a lot of grievances, prepare a lot of grievances, also meet with management on grievances and issues of concern that employees have concern about in the organization. We also have concerns about the privatization of the VA and some of the goals and objectives to carry that out.
And we're going to talk about that later.
Okay. Some of the other challenges are that we attempt to take care of employees. Employees having issues in the organization and us attempting to resolve them. Bargaining issues that we work on a daily basis. With this new facility going up and in place, we're also working very hard to make sure that employees have an environment to where they can be successful at their work and also help veterans.
Before I move into your military service, just how many members do you approximately have in Local Union 2241?
We have approximately 1,000 members.
That's a lot of daggers coming at you if they're mad.
Absolutely. We represent employees at the Readjustment Counseling Center, Combat Call Center, which is at Denver West exit off of I-70. We also represent employees at the Fort Logan National Cemetery, Eastern Colorado Healthcare System, north of Castle Rock to Fort Collins. We have two clinics in Aurora and one clinic over in Golden. We also represent employees at Visit 19 and also the National Surgery Center. So I have a large responsibility and ground to cover representing employees.
Absolutely. Bernard, as I said, this is Memorial Day, May 28th. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about your military service. What branch of the military service did you serve? And with that, the time frame, deployments, U.S. military bases you may have been on, and when were you formally discharged?
Okay. I went in the Army in 1972. My father told me it was either the steel mill or the military. So I chose to leave and go into the military. And I took basic training at Fort Dix, New Jersey. And I went to school to be a mechanic, also a vehicle retriever operator at in Aberdeen Proving Grounds, Maryland. I moved on from Aberdeen Proving Grounds, Maryland. I spent 12 years in Germany total. Also, I was a drill sergeant at Fort Jackson, South Carolina. I went from Fort Jackson to Fort Carson, and I also spent time in 1 year in Korea. I moved on, and I retired out of Fort Carson. I was the acting first sergeant of 1-8 Infantry Headquarters Company at Fort Carson, and then I retired in 1992, the 31 December 1992.
Very impressive. Bernard, did your military service contribute to your work in the public sector, the VA, and your present leadership roles in union management positions?
Yes, I believe so. I was a medic in the Army. I also worked as a mechanic. I was in air defense artillery. I worked in mental health in the Army. And I think those positions that I held when I was on active duty really helped me. It's helped me be a better person in the civilian world. And I think I've done fairly well at being successful and helping others to be successful.
And you've acquired, through that experience, discipline, structure, and order, and obviously leadership qualities.
Absolutely, sir.
Bernard, if applicable, would you be able to give a rough estimate with AFCE 2241 members, union members, who have been on active duty and or inactive reserve duty? Mm-hmm. And if so, what kind of support does AFCE Local Union 2241 give these members' families when they are overseas?
We help the families. We make sure that they check in with us, and we know if they're on deployments and have discussion with the employee and their family before they go. We've even helped employees with issues around substance abuse issues, and got them into treatment, and then they've come back with, you know, being very responsible. My background in mental health has helped me with helping other members with such issues and concerns.
All right, then, very good. I always ask this question to military veterans, you know, when I do this show each year, and it's a little different, but they all have a positive response to it, and the word is camaraderie. Mm-hmm. So how would you evaluate, compare the level of camaraderie you experienced in the U.S. Army with that of your brothers and sisters in the American Federation of Government Employees Local Union 2241?
We are a tight group. We work hard to make sure the employees have information that they need. Our meetings are very informational, and we work very hard with our employees to help them understand what the union's all about and what they can do to help us and also help veterans.
You know, we got to you can spend as much time on this one as you want, because it's a big one. And I'm, you know, moving into the category of the Department of Veterans Affairs.
Mm-hmm.
So, Bernard, could you talk about the great effort, and your effort as well, by members of the Union Veterans Council calling on Congress to, quote-unquote, stop a scheme to privatize and dismantle major portions of the Department of Veterans Affairs?
There's an ongoing, what appears to be a scheme to privatize our hospitals and privatize services within the VA. There's currently an HR House Resolution 5674, the Mission Act, and this legislation gives VA Secretary to authorize the privatize and dismantle broad swaths of the VA's healthcare system. The legislation gives the next VA secretary broad authority to dismantle the VA at any time when the VA faces intense political pressure to pursue privatization. The legislation will devastate communities by closures of vibrant VA medical centers. The legislation will lead to privatization at the expense of full staffing and resources needed for VA's in-house operations. We need to keep the VA intact. We have constantly tried to inform leaders of the VA that there are over 49,000 positions that are vacant in the VA. And those 49,000 positions, if filled, we could do our job efficiently. But we can't seem to get Congress to help us with that issue.
And that comes with funding.
Yes, it does. And we need funding to make that happen, the correct funding.
With this scheme to privatize, how would this benefit, quote-unquote, Wall Street investors seeking to profit on the backs of veterans?
Independent studies from the RAND Corporation and others have shown VA facilities consistently have provided better health outcomes for patients when compared to private sector healthcare institutions. The Choice Care Act is something that is not really working for the VA. And insourcing is what we would like to see. And it definitely will help us as veterans. I'm a veteran. And always look out for veterans and our employees also, and what our needs are.
You know, the ongoing, you know, sometimes it, depending on the news source, but a lot of times they're ones that are just, more taking the privatization route. But veterans seem like they're always very pleased with the care they get, and they get good care, and, you know, and also good benefits.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is, like you alluded to, is that if you need 49,000 employees, that means that people may have to wait in line because there's not enough people there.
Correct. Absolutely. And that's one of our challenges as leaders of the union, where our employees are complaining that they're stressed out. There's shortage of human resources in the organization. And we bring those concerns to management, senior leadership of the VA in Denver. I would like to say is we really need to reject the privatization of the VA and to work to fix the VA, to make it a better place for our employees to work and also veterans to receive care. The specialized care we have. and we've done very well at providing that specialized care.
Well, that's a good segue. So I'll just be more direct with it. What needs to be done for all veterans in order that America keeps its promise to our brave service members?
I strongly believe that rejection of the privatization of the VA would definitely be something that we all need to take a look at, and as taxpayers. I believe that with that rejection and also providing us the appropriate resources to perform the work that we need to perform will definitely help.
You know what, just a question here is that, what are your thoughts on the recent dismissal of Secretary David Shulkin?
I can't really say. Dr. Shulkin left, and I would say in many aspects he will be missed.
That's what I thought. It seems like he was more an advocate, you know, for the veterans, contrary to the Trump administration. And they've already come up with one dud for a replacement, and who knows what's going to happen there. Do you have any insight there?
No, I don't have any insight to that.
Okay. Let's move on to this, Bernard. I have other issues. The national unemployment rate is now at or about 3.9%. Consistently, various reports in the past say the unemployment rate is 8 to 10%, maybe higher, possibly lower, for veterans. Should this rate be considered an injustice to these men and women? And if so, what needs to be done to address this issue?
I believe that there should be some assistance, additional assistance to veterans. I know there are states that are helping provide additional assistance, job assistance, and getting the veteran help. We have resources at the VA, but there are some veterans that don't want to go to the VA for some reason. We have the services at the VA to help with job assistance. And I think what needs to happen is I think we need to get out there and let the veteran know that we have the services to help them, and be more accommodating publicly about those services and what they entail.
I know I went through 10 years with the Labor Representative of Workforce Boulder County, and I can speak glowingly and positively about them with their, you know, work with veterans and their, you know, veterans advocate there. It's on staff that they really do a good job of trying to get mm-hmm. them all gainfully employed to mm-hmm. come into the office. Granted, mm-hmm. you know, some have issues and everything, and, you know, we have enough time that maybe we should talk about this issue that you know, I brought back from an interview from last year, and it's post-traumatic stress disorder, also known as PTSD. Mm-hmm. Various reports state that as many as 30%, about 800,000 of 2.5 million military veterans will be diagnosed with PTSD. How do the reports like this complicate the effort to lower the veterans' unemployment rate?
I worked in the PTSD program at the VA Medical Center, and I strongly believe that the VA is doing a very good job of increasing the amount of services and the number of services to help veterans with PTSD. Yes, the numbers are going to increase. We've got more veterans serving in combat and serving in combat longer than the Vietnam era at one given time. And some of these young veterans are serving two and three tours, some more than three tours in Afghanistan, and they are returning with concerns and issues. Those numbers are going to grow. They are going to increase.
But the first thing in order to rectify the problem, and I think you alluded to it, like with the unemployment rate, you have to have those that are having issues, particularly with the PTSD, they got to come see you.
Absolutely.
Or someone close to them.
Absolutely.
A family member.
Absolutely.
Or a friend. You know, please bring them to us. We want to help them. Don't let them, you know, be on an island on their own.
Absolutely.
Because a lot of negative behavior could come out.
Absolutely. And the substance abuse issues also need to be worked on, okay? You know, both work simultaneously with each other, PTSD and the substance abuse. You got to work on the substance abuse to be able to work on the PTSD problem fully and assist in the veteran in resolving their issues or being able to live with PTSD or combat related PTSD.
Well, let's go. We got about 5 minutes left or so, but let me ask you this, I've asked this the past couple of years. The new VA Regional Hospital, Aurora, Colorado. Beyond this massive project being a source for many good-paying construction jobs with benefits for many union members in the building and construction trades, I know it's been great for the two locals I've been to, Labor's 720 and Glazer's 930. Mm-hmm. But how will this soon-to-be-completed facility greatly assist all military veterans in the western region of the United States?
We will be able to help veterans in the western region of the United States by being a resource to other areas like Salt Lake and also Wyoming, Sheridan, Wyoming, and Montana.
Nebraska, Kansas.
Nebraska, Kansas. We, in our vision, is basically Colorado, Wyoming, Montana, Utah, and Oklahoma. And that facility will be a huge complement to our being able to provide care throughout their region.
Is there any plans on, you talked about the shortage of staff, but now with this going to be coming online, is there budgets there to have the staff to staff that whole new facility?
I don't know exactly. I understand we're about 500 or around 500 or a little bit more. The numbers are changing, but it appears that we're going to need more employees to operate that facility with its size and all.
Well, Bernard, I guess we can move into a summary. Everything I wanted to cover, you covered, and you covered well. And I got to be very complimentary because just to let people know in the listening audience up front that you grew up like 12, 15 miles away from me in Sewickley. I'm from Vanport, Pennsylvania, and we're both son of a union, United Steelworkers union members. Mm-hmm. And so we know about what we talked about earlier, discipline, structure, and order. And if something went wrong when you were young and when I went wrong, you would feel the pain. And so anyway, today is Memorial Day. Do you have any final thoughts or comments in this context that you would like to leave with this KGNU listening audience?
Yes, sir. I think the overriding message is every dollar spent on privatized care deprives our veterans of specialized care that the VA offers, and also it saves lives and helps veterans heal faster. We also have veterans that work that operate our trains across the country, and we have concerns about the IBEW coal and energy plants. We're moving toward clean energy, and the concern about retraining those members in IBEW and also the engineering fields, automation, and how grab bag and go for our UCFW brothers and sisters are having to deal with King Supers and Safeway and all. School funding. We want to make sure we have got veterans that work in schools that are school teachers. We have to make sure that the school teachers have their money and compensation, and also protect their pensions. Also, state employees. We got veterans that work in state, work for public venues, and also their inability to bargain, and their bargaining rules and all. We really have to, if we're going to make things better for veterans, we need to take care of those union brothers and sisters.
All right then, Bernard, for those of you joined us late here on this Memorial Day, May 28, 2018, the subject of tonight's program was Military Veterans as Union Members and Union Leaders. And with us was Bernard Humbles, President, American Federation of Government Employees, Local Union 2241, and President of the Veterans Council for Colorado AFL-CIO. And Bernard, as my friend and fellow trade unionist, I want to thank you for being on Labor Exchange at KGNU. And on behalf of KGNU and its listening audience, I want to sincerely thank you for your military service. If anybody has any comments about this show or any other show on KGNU, please call 303-447-9911. And next week, Monday, June 4th, 2018, please listen to La Lucha Sigue at 6 p.m. This has been the Labor Exchange, and I am Dennis Kreese for KGNU Community Radio.